Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
The children might be young enough to be oblivious to the request and to the touch. That doesn't matter. What matters is that their fallen human life is reconnected to the source of that eternal life, which is in the man, Jesus.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Mark.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Last podcast, we heard St. Mark's account of Jesus teaching on divorce. Remember, it was brought up as a bit of a trap. Jesus had arrived in Judea and was continuing his teaching, and the Pharisees were not pleased. So they set out to test him with the question about the lawfulness of divorce. Jesus threw the question back at them, asking them what Moses commanded. They know the answer well enough from Deuteronomy 24, but then Jesus makes a move that they maybe didn't anticipate. He argues that's concession, not commandment. It's due to their hardness of heart. God's plan from the get-go was different, and Jesus calls them back to the get-go, back to in the beginning, and draws from Genesis to teach that God's plan was that marriage is between male and female as he made them, and that they were to become a new family unit and stick with each other, glued together, remember, as one flesh. God has united them. Man is not to be pulling to pieces what God has joined together. The disciples are confused, though, and ask him about it in the house. Jesus' words, as recorded by St. Mark, are harder than those recorded by St. Matthew. He just says that if you divorce and remarry, you're an adulterer, whether you're the husband or the wife, extending the context to the Roman culture in which they were all then living. The Jews only allowed the man to divorce. The continuation of the Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. And they were bringing children to him, that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. St. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Let us pray. O Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son has promised, "Ask, and ye shall receive, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and the door shall be opened to you." So now we beg you to give the good to us who ask, and open the door to us who knock, that we may obtain the eternal blessing, and receive, even as little children, the promised kingdom of your grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So you're ready to dig into the Word today? I sure am. Let's get to it. Verse 13, "And they were bringing children to him, that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them." They who? I'm suspicioning their mamas. Why? Because mamas tend to think their little darlings are all something special, and Jesus is about to show that they are not wrong. And then there's the fact that the disciples rebuke them. That's a hard word that usually goes with the silencing of the demonic. At very least, it means they were speaking dismissively and roughly to those bringing the little ones, And that would fit in that culture and time, especially with how a man might address what he regarded as a bothersome woman. But whether it's just a bunch of moms, or moms and some dads, what they want is for Jesus to touch their little ones. They want them to be connected to him in a physical way, for the blessing and the life that they know to be in him to flow out over their children. The children might be young enough to be oblivious to the request and to the touch. That doesn't matter. What matters is that their fallen human life is reconnected to the source of that eternal life, which is in the man Jesus. And I don't imagine, especially if it were a bunch of moms, that they take the dismissal too kindly. And so, though St. Mark doesn't explicitly say so, I wonder if there might have been a bit of a brouhaha beginning to kick up, and that might be what drew the Lord's attention. Well, whatever happened, he is aware, and he is not pleased. Verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." As I said, not pleased, not pleased at all. Indignant is a polite way of saying royally ticked. He doesn't allow anyone to stand in the way of someone coming to him for his blessing. And so he flat out tells the disciples, "You let the children come to me. Do not get in their way, not even for a second. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these little ones." Now, you might recall that I said last time this particular passage has a home in the historic Western liturgy of holy baptism, and so in the order used in the Lutheran Church. It might seem an odd passage for holy baptism, since there is no mention of water anywhere in the context. But you see, it is the Church's conviction and experience that what happens in holy baptism is an actual encounter with Jesus. And so when we hear of Jesus telling folks not to forbid the children from reaching him, we know that means in our own day, do not forbid the children from receiving the grace of baptism. Here's how the Augsburg Confession of the Lutheran Church from 1530 expresses it. Concerning baptism, our churches teach that baptism is necessary for salvation and that God's grace is offered through baptism. They teach that children are to be baptized, being offered to God through baptism. They are received into God's grace. Offered to God. That is, placed in his loving arms, in the arms of Jesus. Jesus proclaims the kingdom belongs to such. That is, to those who are nothing but givable to. They have zero to offer on their own. They can only receive. But it is his delight to give to those who will receive. St. Cyril of Jerusalem, writing in the 300s, said, "Even to the foulest of offenders, when they afterward believe, remission of sins is granted. On this premise, no one is prohibited from baptism and grace. How much more should an infant be admitted, who, just born, has not sinned in any respect, except that being born of the flesh, according to Adam, has in his first birth contracted the contagion of the ancient deadly nature." Verse 15. "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." The disciples might not have thought the children worth bothering with, but Jesus shows them that they had best be paying close and careful attention to those little ones, because no one who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will ever enter it. Now, this is a tad ambiguous in the Greek, as also in the English. Does Jesus mean whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child receives the kingdom is not going to enter it? Or does Jesus mean whoever does not receive the kingdom of God in the same way that person would receive a little child will never enter it? If the former, then the stress surely is on the passivity of the child being nothing but given to, nothing to offer of his or her own, just a sheer beggar before grace. If the latter, Then the stress is on the way someone passes off an infant into your arms and the great care with which you reach out and receive and hold and treasure that little one, guarding especially you don't jerk its head, right? Because they can't even hold it up at that age. I'm hard-pressed between the two readings, and I even wonder if Jesus intended the ambiguity to get his disciples to think in both directions. You guys need to become like the little ones you're scorning, and you need to welcome the kingdom in the gentle way you're about to see me welcome these children. Verse 16, and he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This picture of Jesus taking them in his arms might indeed suggest very, very young ones, little infants that he cradles and holds, and then proceeds to bless, laying his hands on them. Back to that baptismal liturgy for a minute. Want to take a guess what immediately follows after the reading of this section from Mark 10? Well, let me cite it for you from Dr. Luther's 1526 Order of Holy Baptism. Then shall the priest lay his hand on the head of the child and pray the Our Father together with the sponsors kneeling. Yeah, get it? It's a way of confessing that in baptism, through the instrumentality of the priest or the minister, Jesus is up to the same old, same old. The pastor's hand in this case is but a stand-in for the Savior's hand. And what greater blessing could be given to the child than for the sponsors in the family of God to pray over the little one, the great family prayer, the Our Father, naming this one a child of the Heavenly Father, whose name we ask to be hallowed in this life, whose kingdom we beg to come to this little one, whose will to be done in this child's life and not the will of the devil or their own will, and so on. Do you see then why St. Basil the Great would insist that we not write children out of the community of faith? Listen, the apostle praised one, Timothy, who had known the Holy Scriptures from infancy. He also instructed the children to be reared in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we consider every time of life, even the very earliest, suitable for receiving persons into the community of faith. There simply is no obstacle for Jesus dishing out his gifts to the little ones, except for adults who take themselves way too seriously and forget that Jesus' arms are ever waiting to embrace and to hold the children. That's where we're going to call a halt for today. Next podcast, we will begin hearing the account of the rich young man. He is not out to test Jesus. He actually wants to know the answer to his question, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus is going to challenge that title, good, and remind the young man that only God is good, as in, young man, do you realize that's who I am? Young man, do you realize that's who you're not? But then Jesus will send him to the law for the answer. Hey, if you want to do something to inherit eternal life, then by all means, listen to what the law of God says. The fellow will be confused, of course, because he knows all that, and he even thinks he's kept it all from the time he was a toddler. Jesus looks at that earnest, upturned face and loves the young man, and so gives him a very, very hard gift. He tells him what he must do to have treasure in heaven. And the young man will walk away from Jesus in great sorrow. And Jesus will just watch him go, certainly also with great sorrow. That's really only halfway through the account, but that's as far as we're going to be able to get next time. Till then, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.